The Baby Lambs podcast may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Baby Lambs podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lisette. And I guess I'll do the start this time. Mm-hmm. We're just a couple of, mid-time life millennials in our 30s. I can't say we're childless because half of us is pregnant. That's our new intro now.
It's so weird to say that because we've been saying childless millennials for so long.
And then look at what you had to go and do.
I had to fuck it up, man. That's what I'm here for.
Jesus.
Chaos.
So congratulations. We can talk about you being a pregnant person.
Yes, finally. Yes. Pregnant. Cool. Yes, it was planned. Gabe and I are very excited. I'm at the time that we're recording this, I'm 12 weeks along, mm-hmm. So I'm knocking on the end of the first trimester, which has been a very special time.
Yeah. It's been lovely to, like, see you through these 8 weeks.
8 weeks, yeah, because, you know, we'll get into it, but, like, pregnancy, you know, are just keen on learning about, like, human reproduction or whatever, like, unless you are studying it to be a doctor, or you really don't know unless you're going through it, mm-hmm. like, what it is that pregnancy is, you know, and it's, and, like, the fact that I'm 12 weeks is still pretty, like, like, time is weirdly moving fast and also moving slow, but it's really actually moving super fast.
Yeah. Seeing, like, you and Jenny go through pregnancy, it's so funny because, like, people, when I see people online be pregnant, I feel like it takes so long.
Forever.
I feel like they're pregnant for a year. I mean, it's not that far off, right? It's, like, 9-10 months, et cetera, et cetera. But IRL, I'm like, Jenny's almost done.
Gassy. She really is.
December's, like, within the blink of an eye.
For sure. Especially now that we've just entered, like, the fall. Yeah. Like, nah, it's over. Yeah. Like, you have a bunch of holidays and then baby came.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, and the same will be for me. It'll be December and I'm going to be, like, huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. I'm due in March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I could either have a little Pisces baby or have an Aries baby, depending on, like, how long this nugget wants to be in here, really.
Depends on how cozy an environment, but based on, like, today's video, they might just be ready to, like, come out for Pisces season.
Of course, selfishly, I would love to bring another Pisces into this world, you know? The truth is, like, Pisces is, like, is a sign that I feel like you don't find a lot of people in. Like, I know a lot of Pisces, but I don't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. I guess it's because, like, to be a Pisces, like, your parents have to have boned, like, on Father's Day or on, you know?
Nice.
It's kind of like the truth.
Or like 4th of July.
Yeah, like that's when we found out actually was the 4th of July.
Yeah.
So no, you have to like bone like literally the weeks coming to Father's Day, and like who's so excited about Father's Day to be like, I guess it's us, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's how the math works. That's pretty much that's
yeah, you guys woke up on Father's Day and we're like, today's the day.
Yeah, I guess so.
Today, Gabe had an agenda.
Mm-hmm. He definitely, you know, did his part of this.
And that's it. He's done.
That's it. And then he can go off and do it again for somebody else. He's a little bee.
Yeah, he can just pollinate.
I'll release him to the wild soon.
Oh my god. So before we continue with like the fun subjects,
yeah,
we would be remiss to not talk about what's happening in the world today.
Literally today.
Literally today. As we're like celebrating, you know, Ashley making her announcement and like all of us being so excited for her to finally, like, actually just being excited to not have to like keep it a secret anymore. Because I love secrets, but I hate them.
I agree. It sucks.
Because especially when they're happy secrets, you know? News came out, or rather a reminder came out, because the news came out months ago about Texas's new anti-abortion law that basically has done away with Roe v. Wade and just basically fucked the lives of women and people with female reproductive organs.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's done is basically made it illegal for women to get an abortion, or a pregnant person to get an abortion, legally and safely. Mm-hmm. And it has made it so that if anyone makes the assumption that you're on your way to get an abortion, have had said abortion, etc., etc., can sue any person that assisted you in going to get your abortion.
Yeah, it's an interesting law because it's like we can't sue the person having the abortion.
Yeah.
Because it made it very clear. We can't sue you for having an abortion, but we could sue the people who may have counseled you to make this decision, who may have transported you to the to the facility.
So your Uvu driver, your Lyft person,
your mom,
your husband or spouse,
anybody who could have aided in your decision to, you know, to move forward with an abortion is now eligible to earn at least $10,000 in court.
Yeah.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. Also, like, it doesn't even protect people that are getting an abortion due to rape and or incest.
Mm-hmm.
Which is even more dangerous.
Super.
In and of itself, because we know the way that predatory behaviors work. And, yeah. And, like, the other side, right, like, we keep talking about the ways in which this will largely affect minority communities and communities of color. But, like, it's just going to affect the lives of every person that can get pregnant and doesn't necessarily want to be pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will for sure be a bunch of white women and affluent white women that never wanted to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way that the healthcare system works, also cannot have a hysterectomy before 35, you know, just in case we like change our minds. And when you have sex with men, you have to trust in that they're, you know, listening to you and your needs and wants.
Mm-hmm. And also, there was an interesting point that I saw and I posted about it literally right after my announcement on Instagram.
You know, we're here for the duality.
Yeah, man. The truth is that you have these Republican governors, Republican political entities who, you know, yeah, they have rah, 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 anti-abortion, babies are life should be, you know, whatever. But, like, if their mistresses got pregnant, if their daughters got pregnant, if they're, you know, and they needed to get an abortion because of face.
Yeah.
They could easily, they will not hesitate to find them the right access.
And hidden. And they will get the best care.
The best care.
And, you know, we'll be able to continue on with their lives like nothing ever happened. Water under a bridge and we move forward.
I just, you know, like, not to be, like, this is a pretty crude, I'm not gonna lie, like, just thinking about it is a pretty crude comparison, but people are so quick to, like, spay stray animals, like cats and dogs. Like, there are huge campaigns to stop reproduction. Bob Barker has always famously been like,
spay and neuter your pets.
Exactly. The price is right. Spay and neuter your pets. Goodbye.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow. And those are also the same people that are like, but I want you to continue to make babies, whether you are financially or mentally or physically capable of doing so.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make literal sense.
I need them to start identifying what they mean by being pro-life.
I really do too.
Because it's a full life. It's not like, yes, I understand life begins like blah, 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 blah. Okay, no disrespect, baby.
No, that's cool.
But it's not like it's so easy for you to get government assistance. It's not so easy for you to get any help. Like, if you don't have access to childcare, it is not cheap. It is not easy to attain. So if we're not changing all of the infrastructure in place to keep women at the home, then what life do you really care for?
Because these are also the same people that are going to complain that you have these kids running in the streets at all hours, and you have parents, and we already know that DCF is like up to its, you know, they're like drowning in child cases, some justified, some not really, but nevertheless, we don't have an infrastructure to be able to manage all of these, you know, children that were, it's just, it honestly does, what doesn't really make any sense to me is, look, the decision to have and keep and, like, raise a child is not an easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really unfair, regardless of how old you are when you decide that you don't want to go through this process, you know, whether you're mature enough to be able to go through the whole scope of the thought process behind it, you know, like, yeah, sure, there are some people who got abortions or have had abortions because in the moment they're like, this isn't what I want, and this isn't what I need right now, and they're entitled to that.
Yeah.
But to think that the thought doesn't come back to you, and to think that, like, whatever, if the biggest argument is, oh, we're trying to prevent you from regretting this decision, that's not for you to decide how I decide to feel. Maybe they do. Probably they won't. But if they do, then that is their cross to bear, not yours.
Yeah.
It's the same as making a decision to move through with a marriage or to leave a marriage that you're unhappy in, or to do a number of things, to move to another state, to another country. These big decisions are not taken lightly, and taking the responsibility of growing a new and raising a new human on Earth against your will isn't fair. Why would you want to bring a child into that?
Yeah.
Do you think that the mother is just going to change their mind the moment that the baby is born and be like, JK,
I always wanted this.
I always wanted this. And
this,
like,
this is definitely the right time. I'm so glad I had my rapist child.
Right.
The fuck?
And also think about how dangerous it is, because, like, we're humans. We don't want to be restricted in the things that we do.
Yeah.
And what is that going to lead to? Okay, it's going to lead to women finding creative solutions for allowing the baby to leave their body in some other way.
Yeah.
Or
as we did in the past.
As we have done throughout history.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not just talking about hangers, you know, it's like whatever. Taking drugs, like drinking shit to like force a miscarriage, throwing yourself down the stairs.
Yep.
Like, there's a million things that a person who is in desperation could very well do. And then what happens? You lose the baby, or you have a baby that needs a lot more than you can give it.
Yeah.
And then the state they're like, well, I mean, it's your baby.
But aren't you glad you had it? Wow.
Wow.
Pro-life.
Pro-life.
Our system is working.
It's just, unfair, and I don't understand how this is anybody's business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've never understood that.
To be clear, 100% of the men that are anti-abortion do not have kids. Like, cannot have kids, right? Cannot go through a pregnancy. And 100% of these men that are putting these laws in order, like, in effect, will probably never have to worry in the same way that women have to worry, or rather, people that get pregnant have to worry.
Never. And the women who are standing behind this bill, like, all high and mighty,
they're garbage.
They're garbage. And I don't want you to tell me, oh, but God, oh, but the book of the Lord. Oh, don't. Because this has nothing to do with the book of the Lord. This has nothing to do, I'm sorry, like, with all due respect to whatever your religious background is, like, you know, whatever gets you through what is life. Life isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you attach yourself to an ideology that makes sense to you, fine. Mm-hmm. But the ideology should not go into or lead you into the way that other people may live their lives.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Seriously.
Like, it's plain and simple. Who the fuck do you think you are? It is not your life. It is not your responsibility. Let people live. Let people live. Who gives a shit if they've had 7 abortions because what they like to do is get fucked during the weekends? That's their problem.
Yeah.
That is literally their problem, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're not even then would I really care that much. But it's like, I feel like the point where I would care about people having abortions is if they're like, given the way that our healthcare system works, like, if they're not paying the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, they have to pay the bill because it's not like insurances really cover it. It's not like we have a healthcare system in place to, like, truly protect women.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like the state of Texas is gonna make fucking, like, birth control easily and readily available and, like, free to prevent all of this shit. So it's like, no, you know what? I mean this with all disrespect. Fuck you. Like, 100%, just fuck off. I don't even want to entertain a conversation where you want to try to tell me the importance of being anti-abortion. No, fuck you. Fuck off. I don't care. Because you don't care about women. You don't care about babies. You don't care about children. You don't care about life.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You care about you and your bullshit ideals. Because if you're not, I'm sorry, if you're not following the Bible or your religious beliefs to the nth degree, you don't get to have a say.
Mm-hmm.
If you are walking around mixing your fabrics, you don't get to have a say. If you have a 6-year-old boy with a mushroom haircut, you don't get to have a say. There are literally so many things within the Bible that, like, if you're not following all of this, why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, stop cherry picking bullshit. And also, like, just, I don't know what it, there's so, look, we live in the age of, like, video games, fucking television shows, fucking read a book, travel somewhere cool. There are so many other, like, don't, dedicating your life to this, to these causes is so fucking sad.
Yeah.
Like, you're, so these people, if they succeed, and right now it looks pretty fucking scary.
Yeah.
If they succeed, they get to what? Pat themselves on the back because they're fucking what? Because they're restricting people from making decisions about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. But I agree with you. You're not, you can't take something away and then not replace it with something. So
yeah.
Replace it with appropriate education. Replace it with
pathways.
Contraception.
Like,
yeah, pathways. Fucking, like, appropriate fucking schooling, fucking long-ass maternities, like,
yep.
Give us something in return.
You're just taking away people's rights and lives, and you're just like, okay, great, deal with it now. And, like,
then you pat yourself on the back and you go to church.
You go to your fundraisers.
You go to your fundraiser. Yeah, you fucking cheat on your wives, and
mm-hmm.
you fucking, you know, flirt with the priest, and you do all this shit, but you know what? Padre nuestro que está en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, a la cruz.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know what, though? I stopped women from stopping life. And that makes me a good Christian. Oh, no, it fucking doesn't.
How are you helping them? We're not. They just have to figure it out like the rest of us did. That's right. Going to be the fucking argument. And let's add the my favorite layer, which is now we have all of these women or people with babies, and which will result in multiple pregnancies, right? Mm-hmm. And this, like, okay, I'm going to scale it back a little bit. As a person, as actually, maybe as two people with shitty cycles, menstrual cycles, mm-hmm. and that have to try really hard to get pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, it has this cutoff of 6 weeks.
It's mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling. Like, you need to be the ideal uterus carrier.
100%.
And you have to have tracked everything, and like you have all of these beautiful schedules, and you like all this, that, the other. Like, God forbid you are a 16-year-old girl that went to a party, had sex with her boyfriend, like, and just happened to get pregnant, you know? Mm-hmm. God forbid that you're like a 22-year-old law student who's engaged and like got pregnant. XYZ. So let's add, right, like, especially within a younger population. Mm. Now there's all these people with, like, multiple kids who may have to rely on government help, and now we're going to add the derogatory term of being, like, a welfare queen, which technically, given to our racist society, applies to black women or women of color. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, there's no winning. It just goes back to, like, there's no winning, because now you're going to have multiple kids, you might need assistance, but then like society deems you as an unfit parent because you need assistance.
Exactly. Like, there's just, it's just a cycle of poverty, really. Yeah. That we're finding new ways to continue to stimulate.
Yeah.
And let me give you everybody a biology lesson, since we talked a little bit about the cycles.
As I drink my Tia juice.
She's having a burp. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe you are asking yourself, well, if that 22-year-old law student had sex with her boyfriend, she should take a pregnancy test, you know, immediately to find out if she's pregnant, and that way she has a good chunk of time to make her decision. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about how one gets pregnant. Okay? So if you don't know, I'm gonna tell you, because even I had a lot to learn going through this process, because mm-hmm. as Lissette implied, you know, we have shitty cycles. We have shitty, our uteruses want to work when they want to work. They have their periods like when they want to. And when you're planning to get pregnant, you have a lot more tracking to do and whatever, mm-hmm. especially when you are a person that's like irregular, right? So I had to do a lot of like, oh shit, I didn't really know this. So let me explain how people get pregnant. So you're ovulating, right? Yes. Cool. Awesome. You ovulate like 10 days before your actual period. Mm-hmm. All right. So during that time, there's a certain number of days that, you know, you have 10, it's not 10 days of ovulation that you have, mm-hmm. like, oh, you get pregnant within these 10 days. Sure, you can, but there are peak days that happen. Like, it's usually like a 24-48 hour period where if you have sex now, you have a higher chance at fertilizing an egg. Okay, so the window is very short. Okay, so what happens after so you make it to the window, what happens now? Egg attaches to uterus, good night. No. Mm-mm. What happens is, what the sperm are trying to do is not just go into your uterus. It's not like, oh, we're going to go, because I was the idiot who was like, oh yeah, your egg just kind of floats there. You know, your egg arrives and it just floats there. And then the sperm are like, look at that, there's the egg. And then they like attack
whoosh,
it.
Whoosh, whoosh.
Right?
That's the sound that the sperm makes in my mind. 100%.
And then it attaches to a wall with the force of the tails.
Yeah.
And good night. No. What happens?
And now everyone's pregnant.
And then everybody gets pregnant. Actually, the reason that it's so hard is not just because your window is short. It's because the sperm have a long way to go.
Yeah.
They have to go through your vaginal canal. They have to go through your uterus. Mm-hmm. And then they have to go into your fallopian tubes, because that's really when you ovulate. Remember, ovulation mm-hmm. is really just your egg. traveling.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have two ovaries, right? One of them is going to pop out an egg every other month. And then when, so that means that the sperm have to also find the right fallopian tube.
Yep.
So when they go in, they find hopefully the egg that has started to travel. They penetrate said egg. And hopefully that is a fertilized egg that as it travels down through your fallopian tubes will eventually find your endometrium, which is the lining of your uterus. And therefore, you know, life begins. Okay. So, timelines here. We talked about 10 days, right? That's how long it typically can take an egg to go through the fallopian tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be asking yourself, okay, won't you have a fertilized egg? I'm sure you could pee on a stick and then until... No! Because the HCG hormone, which is what standard pregnancy tests read, mm-hmm. okay? That's what they're designed to do. Those little pink stupid lines, the little happy faces... They're designed to look for something called HCG hormone. HCG hormone is produced by the ovary that has released the fertilized egg. It is only triggered to start making that hormone once the egg has attached to the wall. Okay? The HCG hormone is what travels through the fallopian tube to feed that egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nutrients it needs for the first handful of weeks. Until it turned into a little egg yolk, which is when you get like a little itty bitty spot to prove that you're pregnant, which is usually what you can see at week five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That little egg yolk is what you can see at week five. And then eventually, you know, your baby, you create placenta,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that placenta eventually takes over for the ovary and then the ovary chills out. It's not in business anymore. So remember the timeline. So those 2 weeks that egg is traveling, that is included in the timeline in which you are considered a pregnant person, right? So I'm 12 weeks pregnant, but I only knew I was pregnant for about 8 weeks because it took at least 2 weeks for that egg to find my endometrium. And by then, you're not producing enough HCG hormone to be read on a test. So unless you're actively, you know, trying and you're like, you know, I'm going to take a test every other day to see if there's a change. Unless you're doing that, there is no way you will know within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You probably will know if you're really trying to get there. You might know at week 4, 4.5.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so you find out at 4, 4.5. All right, that still leaves you a little bit of time, right, to meet that 6-week deadline, a week and a half. So now you're giving people a week and a half to not only juggle with the fact that they're pregnant and flash through all of the scenarios,
mm-hmm.
but to make this decision to get it, to either raise the baby, find the resources, or to say this isn't for me and get it aborted. And then getting an abortion typically requires scheduling, okay?
Yeah.
You need to make an appointment, okay? So how much time are you really giving these people? I mean, I think that's the point they're trying to make. They don't want you to have enough time to make the choice. So they just want, because they just want you to hold the baby.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's say you're really like, you know what? Like, I'm going to get my shit together. I'm going to, every time I have sex, I'm going to time myself 2 weeks from that day. And I'm going to start fucking, like, you know, taking tests or whatever. Maybe you're that person. And you're really trying to follow the law. And you manage to try to make an appointment, but the appointment lands on week 7. You're not allowed to get an abortion. Even though you did everything the law asked you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You took the stupid video, the virtual class where they taught you like how beautiful babies are.
Yeah.
You did all this fucking shit and you still decided it's not for me. This isn't my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later, it's just not my journey today. And then you still can't get an abortion. And then you're judged for it. All of a sudden now you have to adjust to a life that you did genuinely try not to enter right now.
Yeah.
Maybe ever.
And it goes back to like the... So let's go back to the second wave of feminism, right? In which a big part of the fight to get like
you know, like abortion legalized, like women's reproductive rights, all these different things, was because all of it was putting the onus on us, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're back to this time of like the onus is on us, as if getting pregnant is only a one-way street. Like, we're not seahorses, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, we cannot just get pregnant on our own. I mean, I get it, you know, to make a funny here, I get it, there's science that, you know, has predicted that through bone marrow, women can impregnate themselves, XYZ. But that's not where we're at right now. That's not the reality of the situation. So, again, you're putting the onus on us. So not only do we have to go through this, like, you can't even have fun. Because now every time you go out that you have sex, the possibility of getting pregnant will be present. Mm-hmm. And if, like, you're trying to put the onus on your partner, right? Mm-hmm. Say, make sure you wrap it up. Make sure that, like, you come on my stomach or on the wall or wherever, but just not in me. Mm-hmm. And we know, because history has been history and it exists for a reason, and that's why how we get data. That they cannot be trusted, you know? Mm-hmm. And do other things. And you can't, let's say that you, that your partner tells you that they're wearing a condom, and they're not wearing a condom. Mm-hmm. And you find out in 5 weeks that you're pregnant. Like what you were saying, right? Like having this week to make this decision, and you have to make it quick because you can't get to week 7. You can't even sue the person who lied to you, mm-hmm, and has put you at risk. Mm-hmm. Because the law does not protect us. Mm-hmm. So we go back to, why the fuck are you doing this? Who are you trying to really protect? Because it's not life. Mm-hmm. It's not to say, I'm not trying to say that, like, you know, choosing to have children means that, like, you're stopping your life. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's everything to do with, if you have not, if you don't feel in any way whatsoever ready to become a parent, because you don't have to plan to be a parent, right? Like, mm-hmm, you know, you could just, you could be where I'm at, which is like, oh, if it happens, it happens, and, you know, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But there's people that are not there, and there's people that will never be there. So, like, we're forcing them into parenthood, and again, whose life are you protecting? Because we're not, again, we're not changing infrastructure. We're not creating a system that allows for help or whatever, because we know, time and time again, whether you have the right to a safe and legal abortion or not, if a woman or a person with female parts has a child, even if they're doing the best they can, they will forever be judged for that one time where they were not as good as whatever standard that society has put on them. Mm-hmm. And that's really all it boils down to. So Texas, congratulations, you did it. You became the shittiest state. Mm-hmm. Fuck you and fuck off. I have nothing nice to say about for it or about people that are like very much pro this law, because you don't care about women. You don't care about children. You, mm-hmm, don't care about life.
And you know what? As a pregnant woman, you don't care about me. You don't care about me. You don't give a fuck about me. Because I can go on there right now. I just posted an announcement that I'm pregnant, right? I am waiting for somebody to tell me, oh, isn't it great that this fucking law exists? And like, no. No. It doesn't fucking matter. No. It offends me as a pregnant person.
Fuck you and fuck off.
100%. Why? Because just because I decided I wanted to keep this baby, regardless of whether I had tried to have one, just because I made the choice to put myself through, like, financial misery, yeah, and all this, just because I did this doesn't make me a martyr. It doesn't make me, like, you know, it doesn't make me some extraordinary human being. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is cool in my mind right now because I'm happy to be pregnant, but it doesn't mean that I am, you know, like, oh my God, like, can you believe that they're trying to, like, take away our babies? And it's like, but the truth is that, like, you don't know what that is. Like, you don't know what's in your body at 5 weeks. Don't talk to me about, like, oh, but the moment you hear the heartbeat. Let me tell you. You know what? Let's just transition then into my first trimester, okay, since we're here. The first time that I heard a heartbeat was at, like, week 7, I want to say. So, which is kind of still bullshit to this law, because it's not easy to get a heartbeat at week 6. Mm-hmm. So, even if they're like, oh, it's before you get a fetal heartbeat. Okay, well, if you're not going to get a fetal heartbeat by week 6, does that mean you can go on to week 7? No. We said week 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And also, let's talk about how reproductive rights laws vary per state, meaning that your state where you live could very much be like, oh, no, we don't do ultrasounds, like heartbeat ultrasounds, before this week. Exactly. And Texas could fall under that.
100%.
And if they want to be shitty, they could literally say, oh, yeah, 10 weeks seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I hadn't even thought of that. It's true. They could very well. I mean, there's no regulation in terms of when you're supposed to search for a fetal heartbeat. It's true. Absolutely. Ugh. So, look. So, I'm about to end the first trimester, and I have a lot of feelings about it. Because, you know, I don't think pregnancy is anything, like, I don't think that anyone who enters pregnancy has the experience that they think they're gonna have, mm-hmm. or the feelings that they think they're gonna have. Like, I think that we're all kind of, we're fed the, you know, the film idea, the ideas that our parents gave us on, like, how wonderful pregnancy is in so many ways, or whatever experience they want to share. Oh, yeah. It's horrible. Ugh. But when you're in it, it is very unique to you. And even as somebody who wanted this, I couldn't tell you what the fuck is going on in there even after I got the fetal heartbeat. Because, like, it is cool when you hear the fetal heartbeat and that's what you want to hear, if that's what you're hoping for, it is kind of neat because it validates, oh shit, there's something in there that is making a heartbeat. That's neat. But before that, the hell if you know anything. I mean, assuming, you know, like, I've been very blessed, I will say, knock on all the wood that I find. I've been very blessed. I know that none of this is wood. That I can happily say that I have not had, like, severe morning sickness. I have not been, you know, I fall under what is, like, the 20% of women or 15% mm-hmm. of women who don't experience, you know, like, severe, like, throwing up episodes. And I'm very, very grateful. And I can say, having friends that are going through pregnancy and are having the opposite experience, that we all still kind of fall under the same category of, even if we're not sick or we're sick, we have no clue if anything is doing well in there. Okay? Like, being that I haven't been sick, and maybe, yes, I've been a little sleepy, but I'm a sleepy person. So
yeah.
It didn't change a lot. In terms of, I mean, the fatigue is there for sure. But, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that I had gone to the doctor and I had been trying to get pregnant, I didn't know I was pregnant. Absolutely not. Because I'm always sleepy, I'm always gassy, and I'm always thirsty. And, you know, whatever. Except my boobs are, you know, a lot more tender. I mean, but,
yeah.
There's nothing I would know, and you spend, and in my case, I've spent the last few weeks going to the doctor, you know, getting, you know, like, pictures, and like, oh, look, the tail isn't there anymore. Oh, look, the heartbeat is strong, and I'm like, cool. Still don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to walk out and still be me.
Yeah.
The first trimester has been, like, very invalidating for me. And I'm sure you're thinking, you're saying, like, oh, well, I hope, you know, I hope you're not whining because you didn't get sick, and like being sick, whatever, is like a rite of passage, and that's when a lot of women find out that they're pregnant, and that's when they validate like, oh, this is a change in my body. I have definitely conducted my own unofficial surveys from women who are pregnant, currently even, who have had sickness. Mm-hmm. And even they, whether they've had extreme sickness or they've had, momentary sickness, even they are like, but I still don't fucking know what's happening in there. Like, it just is what it is. So I'm sure I know that there are people who struggle more to get pregnant. For sure. There are definitely people who go through the ringer, who go through treatment, who go through all sorts of like methods to get pregnant. And I honor you, you know, for going through and putting your bodies and your mental health in this, you know, process in the hopes of being able to raise and carry a child.
Pregnancy and fertility is not like a one size fits all. Like, everybody's experience is going to be different, and that is all okay. Yeah. I think ultimately it boils down to like the pressures that we put on ourselves and that we allow society to put on us. That can make you feel, you know, in whichever way you're feeling about it. Because like, for example, in my 30s, like 2 weeks before I'm supposed to have my period, I'm sick. Like, I just get like terrible nausea, and now I'm like, great, am I pregnant? And you take all these tests and you're not pregnant, and you're like, oh wait, that's right, it's a new symptom. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, even unfortunately, like, even nausea is not a reliable source of acknowledging a pregnancy. It can make you very excited, like, oh my god, this could be it, but it could just be your body being like, no, babe, you're in your 30s now. It's going to be different.
Yeah, or that back pain you have. It's just your way of life now. But, I'm very, I'm very happy to say that, you know, despite the non-validating part of being pregnant, like, and I really don't think there's a lot of conversation about this particular topic within the first trimester. There's a lot of talk about, like, you know, the myriad of different like sicknesses you could feel, the different symptoms you could have, and even the lack thereof. There's plenty of conversation about the lack thereof of symptoms, but there isn't a whole lot of conversation about how lonely and how nerve-wracking the process is, because, you know, unless you're at the doctor's office, you don't have any proof that there's something going on, even when your body might be changing. Like, yes, maybe your belly is starting to get a little hard or whatever, but it still doesn't mean, because like in the first trimester, you don't feel the baby moving around.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you just have to like trust that your body is doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the truth is that there are plenty of, you know, there's, I mean, it's so common that, like, whatever. But there are some other sad cases where, you know, women lose their babies even though they're, you know, in a safe space and in their pregnancy.
And like, doing everything they should have been doing.
Yeah.
And XYZ, you know, like, it's hard.
And it floods your mind as well as the fact that you don't have any proof.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's just, I don't know how women do it multiple times, if I'm honest. But I'll say that today I had a doctor's appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Today was my 12-week appointment, which is why I felt comfortable posting about it and everything. Mm-hmm. And I got to see my little nugget, mm-hmm. like
Stuart,
little Stuart. We're calling him Stuart. We'll call him Stuart for the podcast. But
yeah.
We don't know if it's a he or she. Also, we don't know the sex
because gender is a social construct.
Hey, but like little Stuart is definitely like was dancing around in the sonogram. It was really hilarious to watch, to see this like
little ball of energy that has a head and has arms and has legs just be like,
look what I can do.
Like, look what I can do. And just being, and hopefully not like predicting what this child is gonna be to me, like this little ball of energy.
And it will be, and that's fine.
And it will be, and yes, that's of course.
It's what you welcome. Wanted.
It's what I asked for. But it was so cool. That did feel pretty cool. But look at where I'm at. Week 12.
Yeah.
Like, if I hadn't had, like, a glass of juice this morning, I don't know if I would have had that reaction at the doctor's office from the baby, right? Because the baby gets mm-hmm. stimulated by sugars and shit. But, like, how, like, it took me 12 weeks. And I'm sure I'll still have my moments of doubt. But it took me 12 weeks to be like, holy shit, I'm having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and it got, like, fingers.
Yeah, it said hi. It has an alien face.
It's, like, totally there. It has, like, a profile. It's got, like, a chin.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's coming to, like, it's, like, a little human. And, mm-hmm. like, before it was just a little shrimp.
Yeah.
You know? Like, literally, it looked like a little camaroncito. And now it's a little baby. I mean, like, you know, it's a little baby, but it's yeah. a baby. And that's, like, crazy. But nevertheless, if my circumstances were different, mm-hmm. okay? If my circumstances are different or, like, something dramatic happened, something unconscionable were to happen that would make having and keeping this baby a risk to my life or livelihood or whatever, I would still, like, I'm not saying, like, up until, like, I don't believe in, like, late-term
yeah.
abortion or anything like that unless and it's an emergency situation.
People that make those decisions is just, like, it's such a tough one. Like, you've been carrying it for so long.
Like, to make that yeah. decision, I don't envy it because people, by then, my God,
people make it seem as if it's, like, the easiest. At no point am I trying to say that, like, thinking about having an abortion is an easy decision, but I can't even imagine, like, a late-term one, you know?
I really can't. Like, it's... That, I do think, is, like, just...
That's difficult.
It's difficult. I don't want anyone to have to feel they need to be in that position.
But it happens. I had a cousin that, like, was medically recommended at 30 weeks.
Oh.
Because circumstances changed and it was for the safety of the mother.
Yeah.
And you make the toughest decision.
Yeah. Like, no matter how excited I may be,
mm-hmm.
like, the choice should still remain with me.
Yeah.
You know, like, it shouldn't make me some evil person. And I know that, like, we're gonna have people that are like, oh, your baby's gonna grow up and listen. And they're like,
good, that's what I'm gonna do.
They're gonna be like, oh, you could have aborted me. And yes. Like, yes, I could have.
It's not too late.
But, like, I at the sentiment is that, like, the choice should still remain within the people who are gonna be affected by the introduction of this new human. Yeah. It shouldn't be left up to some politician to make. It shouldn't be left up to some strangers on the street. Like, I shouldn't be scared that, like, fucking some neighbor is gonna be like, I hear that you're unhappy being pregnant, and I'm gonna watch and see if you go to like a Planned Parenthood and some shit. Like, I shouldn't have to live like that. Oh yeah, we're not in Cuba,
right?
Okay.
That's real communism.
That is real communism, folks. And you're here talking about, like, freedom, 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 but you want to take away a basic freedom?
That's... I take it back. I can't wait for someone to come at us, or at me, about my stance on abortion, so I could be like, I did not know we lived in a communist society, sir.
You can't pick and choose your freedoms. You can't pick and choose the freedoms like this. Okay? And, like... Reproducing is one of the most basic fucking functions we have as human beings. Like, literally, yeah. like, we eat, poop, and maybe can make more of us. That's what we do.
Yeah.
All right? Some people are able to do it. Some people can't. Some people want to do it. Some people don't.
Also, like, so if you're not willing to, like, foster care or adopt a bunch of kids, again,
shut the fuck
who
up.
Who are you doing this for?
Yeah, shut the fuck
you
up.
You don't care about life. So to put a pause on that conversation, let's talk about happy things.
Sure.
Your pregnancy, which we've been talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now, as we approach your 13th week and your second trimester, what are you looking forward to outside of, like, baby moving?
Wow, that's a big one. I'm looking forward to, like, honestly, I'm looking forward to tomorrow because the secret is out. I like living with this inside, like, some people knew already. Mm-hmm. But, like, being able to be, like, an open pregnant person, I'm kind of excited for. I'm excited to grow, you know. I'm excited to, like, see my body change to a point, you know. I'm scared of also, oh my god, the other day we're gonna get TMI, but who cares.
It's gonna be like what, like 7 more months?
Yeah, so, it's gonna, so buckle up, buckle in. The other day I was taking my bra off. And and so for context, I've always I've always had very like pale breasts, like they're just like all one color, and it always has been that way, and like whatever, it's just how I know them. Mm-hmm. It's that these are my friends, we've known each other a long time, that's just how we look. Yes. Okay. And when I took my bra off the other day, I started noticing they're not like dark. They're not dark, but
they're
but they're definitely changing. Like, they're just, like, a little bit more color to them. Because generally, yes, your nipples do get darker, your armpits can get darker, which mine have.
Okay.
They say, like, biologically the reason for that is so that, because babies can only see in contrasting colors when they're first born, they can't see colors. So it helps for, like, breastfeeding purposes. Like, they'll be, it's like a target, literally.
Yeah. Ah, this is the nipple I'm supposed to go to.
Exactly. So I took my bra off and I noticed just like this, like it went from like pale to like pale with a suntan.
I'm here, yeah. Like you went from like light beige to like natural beige.
Kind of, basically. And I started going, oh my god, honey. And I walked into the bathroom. He was brushing his teeth and I'm like, look at my nipples. Look at them. And he's like, what? And I'm like, they're getting darker. And he's like, yeah, a little bit, yeah. And I'm like, oh my god,
you don't love me anymore.
Who are these breasts? It's, that is fucking weird when you, like, you know your body a certain way and like it changes right before your, like, it's like, it's like one of those like color changing and water toys. Like that's how I feel. Like, oh shit. Oh no.
I just pictured you like in the shower and the water running and then your nipples just like being like different colors.
Yeah. Like those color changing Barbies. Yeah. That's what it feels like. So I'm looking forward to, I hear that the second trimester is pretty nice for people. Yeah. I mean, especially for those who have been sick. Mm-hmm. The second trimester is supposed to ease a little bit of that because, what I've read is part of the reason is because you're still, like, what makes you sick is the progesterone. Mm-hmm. Like, the progesterone more or less is what makes you, like, feel really gross in your body adjusting to these amounts of progesterone. But by the second trimester, your placenta is kind of, like, taking over a lot of the work.
Yeah.
So while you're still producing a lot of hormones to maintain this organ, it's not sitting like on your bladder all that much. It raises up a little bit into your abdomen, mm-hmm. Even though you're still going to have to pee a lot, yeah. Because your baby is producing pee.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a little better. So I'm excited to like experience those changes and hopefully be like a cute pregnant lady. I'm excited to like wear some of the pregnancy maternity shit that I've bought. I'm just kind of excited for the whole thing, but more than anything, I'm excited to like feel the baby. I'm excited to like
feel the jumping.
I say that now and then I'm gonna be like, I cannot sleep. I cannot live my life. But it's cool. Like, I'm looking forward to, like, feeling flutters and
all that shit. Because right now, I don't feel anything, so it was really cool to see the baby, like, doing somersaults and stuff. So, right now, I also, you know what I really like, and maybe you like this too, when you get pregnant, you don't have to suck in. Like, I stopped sucking in the moment I heard I was pregnant.
Oh, I stopped sucking in. But COVID did that for me.
Oh, that's fair. But, literally the moment that I was like, oh, I'm pregnant? Who cares? I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna,
I love that.
It's the great, that is a great feeling. Like, this feeling of, I got nothing to prove. I got 9 months where looking skinny is not my goal.
Yeah.
And,
being comfortable is the goal.
100%.
Being able to breathe and walk and do things is the goal.
For sure. Those are the things I'm not looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to, swelling, which I for sure have already started doing.
Okay.
I'm not looking forward to potentially more, back pain kind of stuff, which I have started feeling.
Okay.
But whatever. There's plenty, I'm sure, that I will complain about soon. But at least there's more to, this whole process that isn't just you in the dark. You feel like there's something happening and it moves really, it really does move very fast. It, they tell you that it moves fast and then you're in it and you're like, oh, fuck, yeah,
it is fast.
It's fucking fast. And I want to, give a quick plug to Gabe because, listen, I feel for these men and I'm going to tell you why. The men who want to be parents, the men who want to be fathers and, are here to live this life. Not all fathers are like this. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so interesting because as little as I have been able to connect to this pregnancy in the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
It's even harder for a man who's so excited for it because they really don't know.
Yeah.
They really only get their validation from whatever you tell them and whenever you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
They're not feeling sore nipples, Maybe they get fatter because they're eating, all the snacks for you.
Yeah.
But, Gabe has been a tremendous, baby daddy,
He's fit into his role.
100%, yeah. And I don't know what I expected, but I'm still, surprised every day by, how attentive he is, how sensitive that he is to me.
He's very thoughtful.
He's super thoughtful. He's very, he's just so genuinely excited for this, and, once in a while, he'll put his hand on my belly, even though there's nothing to feel. Half of this is fat.
He's getting ready. He just wants, he wants Stuart to,
to know him.
That arm. The hand, rather.
It's so sweet. And, I get a craving, and he wants to go, get it immediately. Oh, that's a big question people ask is, what are your cravings? I don't have any.
Yet.
Yet. But my cravings usually stem from commercials.
Mm.
If I see an ad for, for example, I saw the ad for the Sweetie Meal from McDonald's.
Oh, that shit looks good.
And I was like, I need the Sweetie Meal, though. I need it. In me. I saw Kathleen Lights a few weeks ago eating Buffalo Wild Wings in a mukbang.
Oh, you mean B-dubs?
B-dubs. And I used to fucking work at B-dubs, and I don't eat at B-dubs, but I saw her eating it, and I was like, fuck, I really need to get some fucking fried pickles in my life.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's weird, because my cravings have become, things I see. If I see something, and I'm like, the other day, I was watching, I watch a lot of YouTube, right?
You do?
Yeah, I don't know if you know that. Yeah.
That's weird.
And I've been watching, I watch a lot of Colleen Ballinger, who's mm-hmm. also known as Miranda Sings, and she's pregnant with twins, and her sister-in-law is pregnant, she gave birth, 2 days ago, finally.
Wow.
To her sixth child.
No, thank you.
Six, that's six kids, though.
No, thank you. That's five kids too many.
It's
not for me.
It's not for me.
Look.
But the kids are cool. I'm not gonna lie. They're cool kids.
Maybe, as I tell my mom, I'm like, maybe I go through one pregnancy and I'm like, I could do this like all day.
Right?
All day, baby.
Who knows? I hear it can be addictive, you know, and like, I guess I'll know at the end, you know, because I think that the feeling that people always talk about is really after you've given birth. That's really the moment that people are addicted to. Like,
The high
of, like,
excruciating pain, yes.
And seeing this, finally meeting this baby that you've been getting to know in your body, you know, like, and seeing those videos are making me so sad. Not sad, but, like, so, like, emotional. Like, it's true. You don't know what the fuck this is. And then you're finally seeing, you're like, oh my God, your eyes and eyebrows.
It's ugly. No, thank you.
Let's try again. If it's ugly, I'm giving it back. There's no way. I'm going to give it to Gabe. I'm going to shove it into Gabe's penis and be like, try again.
Try again. Mix it up.
But whatever. The point is that they were doing a mukbang too, and they did it on with, they were eating Cheesecake Factory, and I'm like, oh God, no. But they were eating these, hold on. They were eating these pretzel bites. And I've now been craving for days, like maybe a week now. I've been craving like a warm pretzel with cheese and mustard. I want it in my life. And I'm like, I don't know if I need to go to Cheesecake Factory for that, but I don't know anywhere else. Like, a part of me is like, I'll go to Disney World right now and just buy a hot fucking pretzel right now. That's what I want.
I feel like you can also get it at Chili's.
Maybe. I'm sure there's a lot. Like, any, like, beer garden should have them. I think Hole in the Wall has them, too.
Probably.
I haven't really had a craving for sweet stuff.
Okay.
Which is new for me. I have been having a craving for, like, yeah, like, savory, sour stuff. And a lot of, like, greens and stuff. Like, I've been really achy for, like, roughage.
Yeah. That was what I know with both of the pregnancies.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird... Because... No. But nah, I mix it up. You know, I had McDonald's twice in the last 2 weeks, man. Because this first time we tried to get the sweetie meal, Gabe only got me the Big Mac. And I'm like, is missing the sweet and sour and the nugs. And he's like, I'm sorry, what? And I'm like, the sweetie meal. And he's like, I'm sorry, what is that? So I had to go with him.
Look it up, my man.
I had to literally go with him and be like, that's what I want. And he's like, okay. I don't regret a thing.
There's nothing to regret. This is what pregnancy's for.
Right, man. That's all I want. What I don't want, though, is like a 10-pound baby.
You have no control over that, really.
I don't, but you do.
But you don't.
But you don't. I know.
You know, you just, like, hope and pray.
It's
just okay.
Are you excited to be at the end again?
Not at all. No.
Yes.
Not at all. I'm super excited. And it's back to back babies.
Yeah. It literally, Jani gives birth 3 months before.
Yeah. I mean, that one has been a little bitter because technically, my birthday will no longer be important.
Your birthday will, of course,
be important. Listen, it's okay. It's okay.
No, but it will. It's gonna be born in like early December. You're not early. It doesn't matter.
What if she's late?
What if she's early?
What if she's late?
If she, you know, the birthday that it really conflicts with is Omar's.
I know.
Because that baby could be born literally on Omar's birthday.
That doesn't matter. he's the parent. They signed up for these possibilities, okay?
That's true. I could give birth on
my birthday. I'm an only child.
That's true. That's true. And you want to stay that way.
And I want to stay that way, okay? It's why I don't want to have a child born near my birthday. They can be born near Michael's birthday anytime. I don't care.
But not during yours? Well, that it's like, you know, a lot. That's a lot of gifts, would. Too.
It's fine. It's fine. I'll give it up. Totally fine. Because at the end of the day, I will do to them what was done to me, which is you get one gift. Do you want it for your birthday or do you want it for the holidays? Fuck. Y que sea lo que Dios quiera, you know? Like, you chose. You chose.
Oh, man.
No one told you to come on December 22nd. No, that's a Capricorn. December 18th.
That's a Capricorn.
But yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be fun, you know? Yeah, like,
I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm really I'm looking forward to having, like, doing this podcast when I have to get up every 5 seconds mm-hmm. to, like,
it's gonna be fun. Don't worry, we'll get something. Really good at, like, pausing. It'll be great.
No, I want people to, like, live it.
I'll take us to the bathroom. I'm gonna have to drag this bassinet.
I'm gonna put it in here, and the baby's gonna cry. I'm gonna be like,
mom life.
I'm whipping a titty so we could talk more about abortions. Oh my god.
Baby, how do you feel about this?
Oh my god.
You have no opinion. Okay, got it. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Thank you for all of
silence that. Is compliance. I mean, oh, like, man. It's funny, but it's not funny.
It's not at all, but it is hilarious.
But that's gonna be me with my nerfs.
Nerfs?
Nerfs? Niece or nephew?
Nerf?
Nerfs. We also don't have a gender neutral, do we?
I don't think so. Baby. It's just baby. Baby. But not for, like, niece or nephew. There isn't, like,
nerfs. Niece pew?
Like, niece pew. Niece pew. I think
there's Stuart. One Stuart is here.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's so weird to think, like, a year from now.
A year from now? Actually, 7 months from now.
No, like, yeah, of course. 7 months from now. But, like, fuck. 7 months from now.
7 months from now, you're going to be someone's mom.
Oh, God. It'll be fine.
Changing diapers and shit.
My God. Covered in drool.
Yeah, being like, guys, I haven't showered in 7 days. Worth it.
Hashtag.
I'll be like, guys, we're going to pause this podcast. I'm going to help her so she can shower.
Yes, oh, my God. Ugh. But no, I'm excited for this journey. I'm excited to go on this with all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to do this, like, you know, with like in this weird chapter of our lives where, like, you know, like, we're all, like, a little older and, like,
yeah.
Like, I'm interested in
I have to say this. I know it's not about me, but I definitely feel more ready to be a supportive friend to my pregnant friends now than when I was in my 20s. So if I feel that way, I can't imagine how all of you being pregnant or having gone through pregnancy felt during that process. Because I have nothing to do. I either show up or I don't show up. I have literally no horse in this race.
That's true.
I mean, I have a godchild, so, like, if the parents cease to exist, I'm taking over. That's it. Yeah. The godfather does not matter here. I love him. He's great. But, no. That child will be mine. Mm-hmm. But.
Okay. I think that's all I'll have to say.
Yeah. And I think we'll be back next week with maybe a new Hunter Killer.
Hell yeah, we got so many boxes.
Okay, yeah. So that's what we'll do.
Yeah, we're definitely I'm still here for true crime and all the things.
Hey, so. Now, look, we don't have anything, like, it doesn't require us to, like, go for a run or, like, be in, like, an escape room or anything, you know? It'll be chill. We'll be home.
We just can't drink together. We can't drink together.
But it's okay.
I miss that, you know?
You do?
I do. Mm. I miss taste, like, there's something about the taste of beer that I want. Mm. Not even wine, beer. Mm. It's the wheat and the hops, and, like, there's something about, like, I crave the flavor profile, not so much the being drunk.
I get it.
But I miss drinking, for sure. But, like, it's weird. It's a weird, like, I don't miss. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, like, I'm, like, aching for, you know, an alcoholic beverage. Mm. I just ache for the...
I feel like it's more, like, the whole mood surrounding, the environment. Like, a beer culture, right? Because it's, like, if it's hot, you have, like, a nice, like, an ice-cold beer, and, like, your friends are over, you're, like, somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely miss the social aspect of many things I can't enjoy.
But pregnancy is also temporary.
It is. I look forward to...
And then you pump and dump.
And then you pump and dump. Yeah.
We've been doing this for ages, baby.
That's true.
We are nothing but generations of women that came before us.
And I also miss deli meat.
Oh my god, I forget. I can't have that if I'm pregnant.
I mean, you can if you, like, heat it up.
Ew.
If you, like, heat up your deli meat,
no,
you can eat it.
No, I don't want
to
do that.
I miss it, though.
That just made me so sad.
I know, man. I have to think about it constantly.
We love sandwiches in this house.
I love... Bro, I had a sandwich today.
I might cry. It's like, that's so sad.
You can't have, I mean, I, some people say you can, but whatever. Coffee, I also miss.
But coffee you could have.
I know. I haven't had any yet because I've been, you know,
okay, yeah,
chilling in the first trimester. Yeah. But I miss, like, I love the smell of it. And I didn't even drink that much coffee before I was pregnant. So it's just like...
It's wanting what you can't have.
100%.
Yeah. Oh my god, I can't. I swear to God, I'm gonna laugh so much if I walk in here one day and you're like heating up your deli meat. I just couldn't anymore. I needed some. All right.
Yo, I will fuck it. And it'll be like some Oscar Mayer fuck. It won't even be like Boar's Head. It'll be like...
You know what's funny though? When my aunt used to make me bologna sandwiches as a kid, she would always heat them up.
Interesting. Maybe because when she was pregnant, she was like...
Probably because she was pregnant here and not in Cuba.
She always used to heat them up. Interesting.
Yeah. So I grew up having like warm
bologna
sandwiches without cheese. It was just like mayo, bologna, and the white Wonder Bread.
Qué rico.
It was pretty good.
I know. I'm not kidding.
There's always something about a viejita, or not a viejita, but like of someone else making you a deli sandwich.
Honestly, to this day, I still dream about that sandwich you made for us at the... What was it? When we were all staying in that house?
Yeah.
You changed my life with red onions, man. I just never thought to put a red onion in there like that. And man, now I always make sure there's red onions in my deli sandwiches because of that day. It was so...
Thanks.
I dream about it. I'm like, my mouth is watering right now.
But it's because I cut them very thin.
Yeah.
I don't like a thick cut red onion because it just makes a messy sandwich.
Yeah. Thin and like well, like
don't worry, I'll make you a sandwich. I'll make you a good sandwich.
Are you gonna heat up my deli meat?
Absolutely. Nah, I'm gonna make you a good sandwich where you'll be like, deli meat who? Fuck you, Publix.
Shopping is not a pleasure.
Not anymore. All right. We'll keep talking forever.
Okay, bye guys. Love you so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Baby Lambs podcast. Artwork created by Janabel Art. You can follow her on Instagram at Janabel Art, or you can follow her studio at Studio Nami Tattoo. Music created by Daniel LaCosta and produced by Sunset Studios Miami. You can follow them on their Instagram at Sunset Studios Miami.
And you can follow us on Instagram via our handle at Baby Lambs Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Baby Lambs PCast or Baby Lambs Podcast. You can find us now on iTunes and Google Play, and even on CastBox, which is actually a really cool app. Also by finding us via our handle, Baby Lambs Podcast, or by visiting our website at babylambspodcast.com. Thanks again for listening.